Blog Talk Radio.
Nowadays, there's a lot of talk about hate crimes. There's an entire body of laws against hate crimes. Everybody seems to be worried about hate. Hate appears to be the gravest problem of our time. But hate is good. Hate gives a structure to our life. Hate gives us a reason to exist, a focus, something to strive for, an identity. Hate is energy, pure energy, provided by Mother Nature herself. Hate enables us to see through lies and pretense and helps us to concentrate on the essential. Hate is democratic. Even the rich and the powerful cannot hate more than their slaves and subjects. And soon, hate may well be all that we have left. Hate emancipates. Without hate for slavery, you cannot break your shackles. And without hate for injustice, there can be no justice. The greatest achievements of the human race have grown from hate and from the ability to control hate. Hate separates humans from animals. Animals do not hate, but humans do. Humans can hate for decades, sometimes their entire life. We can even pass hate on to our children and keep hate alive for centuries. Hate is a sign of abstract intellect, for only humans can hate people they have never seen or met, and only humans can hate concepts and processes. How can we know what love is if we refuse to recognize and understand hate? Love and hate are the two opposite sides of the same coin. Without hate, we are only halflings. In order to be complete, we need hate. Only fools talk endlessly about love, but forget the hate. Hate separates us from the meek and docile masses. Do not fear hate. Do not deny or reject hate. Accept hate. Embrace hate. Learn to know it and learn to use it. Hate is your most powerful weapon, a hidden source of your strength. Do not deny it from you. What the liberal elite fears most in this world is our ability to hate, because our hate will one day be the most revolutionary force on the planet. Our hate will destroy and create empires.
Listening to Resolution Radio. ResolutionRDO.com.
But a kingdom that has once been destroyed can never come again into being, nor can the dead ever be brought back to life.
Shall I explain to you in one easy lesson how the world works?
Use small words. I'm not as bright as you.
The house that put family first will always defeat the house that put the whims and wishes of its sons and daughters first. A good man does everything in his power to better his family's position, regardless of his own selfish desires.
Resolution Radio Network at resolutionrdo.com. You are listening to the Sonny Thomas Show, and I am your host, Sonny Thomas. If you want to call in or listen now, it's area code 607-203-5423. That's area code 607-203-5423. You can follow some various social media networks that we've got floating around out here. Obviously, on Telegram, you can find us at Sonny Thomas Show and at Resolution RDO. On Gab, you can find us at Resolution RDO, Sonny Thomas Show, and, of course, at Real Sonny Thomas. Sonny Thomas Show on Parler and Sonny Thomas Show on Getter. I do have a presence on writeonly.net, but I have not been able to post anything on that thing for damn near a week. So maybe I was too extreme for them and they blocked me out. I have no freaking clue. I can tell you, though, it's basically a social networking thing. And I've actually Just hold on a second. I've actually, apparently I have a few followers on there. Like I said, it's a social network, so I just use the apparatus, what it is, and I post a lot of stuff on there. And I actually get some pretty good feedback besides this commentary, lots of thumbs ups and likes and stuff like that. But I wonder if they're having server issues. I don't know it's exactly what's going on because I can't access some of the functions. And every time I get a post, I can paste it into the field, but the send button always seems to get fuzzed out, so I can't actually use it. So, like I said, maybe they're having some issues because I've had some, like, some, error messages come up or whatever. So maybe they're having server issues. I don't know. Okay. Yeah, I'm trying to check this out here and see what's going on. But, and I have paid $10 to get the verification check mark, so to show that I am verified. So I paid into their system because obviously it's, there's costs involved. So I've been trying to see if I get this thing to work. Of course, my computer is really slow today, so it's not really helping me a whole hell of a lot. But I'm trying to get this thing to work here and see what happens. Let's see. Like I said, my computer's going really freaking slow today. Invalid password, of course it is. Let's try this. That's a real pain in the ass. Okay. That's another thing, too. You got so many freaking passwords, you can't remember what the fuck's what. Okay, I'm having issues with this, so fuck it. I'm not going to worry about it. Like I said, just so many sites, they claim they're either pro-Trump or been kind of brought up by Trump. I don't know what the whole story is, but some of it I really question. But those are supposed to be Trump-friendly. We find out some other stuff, like Getter apparently has Chinese connections. What a shocker. So probably explains how they're able to get that server and get stuff going. But I will say this, though, on some of my other networks, I have built up a fairly decent following. On Gab, I've actually picked up some pretty good following, especially on the show channel as opposed to my direct one. So, I mean, I've got respectable numbers on the real one, but it's a pain in the ass because when you have multiple accounts, it's real hard to try to log out and log back in and post all the shit. And you can't have a separate window on your phone in your browser because as soon as it opens, it sees that you've got another window open. So it'll go automatically go to that account you signed in on instead of another one. So that's a pain in the ass in itself. So typically what I do is I post on the show account by default, and then oftentimes when I fire my computer up, I'll go ahead and post them on the real account and, try to resend them when I see them on the other thing. So it's actually not too bad. Telegram has actually turned out to be a pretty good tool. I've gotten a little bit better at using some of the features. However, I'm trying to figure out how to do some of the other stuff they have on there. I think I thought that I might have activated the emojis. I'm not sure. There's a lot of stuff I'm still trying to learn. And other things is all new to me. So I'm just kind of like, wow. Trying to figure a lot of stuff out, so it's pretty interesting. With that being said, I've been trying to work on some of the other social networks. The Getter one actually has got some pretty cool stuff. I'm trying to figure out how to use the live stream notification thing on there, so I may have to contact the support and say, hey, some of the channels I follow, whenever they have a broadcast, it pops up. So how do I do that for my network? So may have to do is open up a separate one for Resolution Radio, and every time I post it, it'll say it gives you a live link. So eventually I'm hoping to change things up where I'll be able to redo my studio here. And like I said, I'm just trying to finish up a lot of projects. Now that it's starting to get a little bit warmer out, which, you know, Ohio weather, stay in one place long enough, it'll change. Trying to get some stuff finalized so I can get a regular schedule again. So between trying to get projects done and trying to do a lot of extra time at work, I've just really been short on time trying to stay up on some of the programming. So plus this, sometimes this computer gets so freaking slow. I don't even want to turn the fucker on. I mean, it just absolutely drives me nuts. But, you know, we definitely could use your continued support here at Resolution Radio. I'm still floored at some of the feedback that I've gotten over the years from people enjoying the shows as well as sending donations, even if it's small amounts. I don't care if people send $5 a month or with that and the other. But the problem is, you know, our PayPal got shut down because they want more personal information I'm not willing to give. And then many of the other pay things, they start shutting down all the time. Even Patreon, I try to set that up, and it never would let me actually fulfill it. A couple other payment things out there. One of the organizations I was going through had a payment processor, and unfortunately, they don't do individual accounts. They only do, like, groups or corporates. So I was like, well, that freaking sucks. And then they got shafted, too. So it's really hard to find any type of payment processor. And if you go through Messenger to send money, which I've had some listeners do that, the problem is as soon as you post something they don't like, they shut your account down. I think, too, as many times as I've been shut down, that as soon as I upload my banking information, they know it's the same dude, and they automatically just flag me. So it's a real pain in the ass, especially when I have, you know, someone want to send me money for maybe for a purchase or something, like, you know, I'm selling a car part. Like, hey, dude, I'm going to give you half the money now, and I'll give you the other half. I want to come pick it up. You know, I've had that situation through Marketplace. So it's a real pain in the ass to get any type of electronic payments going on. That being said, that's part of the Great Reset, and that's what they're trying to do. I think a lot between this COVID bullshit as well as this crap with what's going on in Ukraine, which it amazes me, is how many dumbass conservatives and Republicans by default are going to side with Ukraine without even knowing any history of the thing. They all make it seem Putin is the bad guy. Sean Hannity is like a war hawk. I mean, from the first day right before the invasion and the day of the invasion, he had Pentagon people on who were automatically making it look like he's the next Hitler. I mean, like, this is 1939 all over again. And when I had Harold on about a month or so ago, he said specifically, this is the exact same bullshit that Germany got stuck in September of 1939. So, yeah, they were trying to go in and get some of their ethnic people and shit in certain regions that were no longer theirs. And, you know, all of a sudden they got warred upon. So, I mean, that's a whole other issue in itself. But it is St. Patrick's Day. And if you are Irish, happy St. Patrick's Day, even though your patron saint isn't Irish. He's actually born in Britain. So how does that fucking work? So, you know, that does nothing, too. And I've complained about it on this show many times over the years. I don't think we should celebrate St. Patrick's Day in this country. If we do, then you need to honor the two other patron saints of the United Kingdom. You need to celebrate St. George's Day, and most importantly, in my case, St. Andrew's Day for Scotland. So that's one of the things that I think is going on here. I mean, especially the left wants to bitch about cultural appropriations. Well, what the hell do you think everybody does on March 17th, they all wear green, and, you know, especially if they want to get pinched. Well, you know what? Unless you're a pretty girl, you pinch me, I'm going to punch you. I mean, that's just the way it is. You ain't pinching me, dude. I'm not Irish. So that's one of the things that really drives me nuts is the fact that, and not that the Irish have not done a lot of significant stuff to this country, plus the fact the whole slavery issue in the South, a lot of people ignore the huge Irish quotient that at least Dinesh D'Souza had brought up in his Hillary's America documentary, History of the Democratic Party, because of the fact that he showcased the Irish slave trade, especially when it comes to women in this country. So that says a lot. That says a lot. So if you haven't had a chance to watch that documentary, I recommend you go and do it. However, I will say listen to Alex Jones a lot more lately, since I have a little bit more ability to do so during the day. And he's had Sean Stone on, which is Oliver Stone's son. and I've talked about two of his documentary films that Oliver had put out have been pretty much banned off of YouTube and some of the other video sites. Ukraine on Fire and I don't remember the other one. Is it the review on Ukraine? I forget what the second one is called, but Ukraine on Fire came out, I think, like maybe 2017. And then the newest one came out like in 2019, 2020, something like that. So I started to watch it a little bit today. And I have to say automatically there's a bit of a bias in it. And I saw one complete error in when he was talking about some of the details. He was talking about some of the brief history of Ukraine, because obviously between Ukraine and Poland and Palestine are probably the three most trampled on and tempted conquered countries in the entire world because of their geographical location between major continents. So it's pretty freaking obvious that there's going to be a very interesting history here. And they talked about how the Ukrainians always are known for flipping sides. Well, yeah, dude, you're in that situation. But so, obviously they had to choose in World War One as well as World War Two. Many of the Western Ukrainians sided with the Nazis, where some of the Eastern Ukrainians sided with I don't want to say they sided with the Russians, but, you know. But as soon as they talked about that, automatically, it was within not even 10 minutes of the damn program, it was all about the Jews. It was all about essentially the Holocaust. I'm like, are you freaking kidding me? And some of the Nazi death groups that were put in there, and they killed all these Jews. And I'm like, you got to be freaking kidding me. Well, of course, if you know, Oliver Stone is Jewish. So I was just like, you know, maybe his name should be Oliver Stein. But again, I tried to watch the documentary, and I actually started dozing off on it because, you know, I work a lot of hours, man. And if it couldn't keep my attention for longer than 35 minutes, then pretty obviously it must have rambled on about some stuff. One of the 9/11 documentaries was like that. The dude talked in a monotone voice the whole thing, and it was really hard to sit through it, man, because he talks in a straight tone like this throughout the whole film. He never changes his tone. He never gets excited. He never shows anything. Next thing you know, your song logs. So, yeah, if you're going to do a documentary, man, it's got to be fairly upbeat, fast-paced, and very informative to the point where I have to watch it two or three times to really absorb the information. That's one of the things I liked about a lot of Alex Jones's documentaries is that you can't absorb it all in one sitting. You have to go back and watch it a few times. And not only that, but it's also prophetic. So when you go back and watch it later on, you may have gotten what he was talking about then, or he's repeated the issue enough that all of a sudden, bing, light bulb goes off in the head, like when Ron Paul is talking about why he's against the war on drugs. I'm like, why in the hell would you want someone to be, you know, be high next to you at work? When I understood the implications about it, I'm like, oh, got it. So I still don't want my coworker being high on drugs next to me. But that being said, you're creating an automatic black market. So definitely an issue. Some people do the drugs just because it is illegal, and it's a thrill to say F you to the man and that you'll do whatever you want while you're blowing your brains out and turning into a freaking tomato. So I don't know. I just don't understand this shit. But me, you know, being a classical liberal – and the Jeffersonian thing, what you do in the privacy of your own home is your business. Just keep it in your home. You know, if you want to be a queer, fine, be a queer. You like out the tailpipe, that's your business. Keep it in the closet, man. I don't want you parading that crap out there and destroying something beautiful like a rainbow flag. I mean, you took something beautiful, perverted it into something else entirely different. So I'm like, wow, dude. And then this trans stuff, oh, dude. I mean, they just keep adding on to it. It's really terrible. And now they're pushing that onto our children in schools. And when fathers say, I don't want my son turn into a daughter, like the guy in Texas, and they try to throw him in jail over it, I'm like, are you freaking kidding me? Dude, if somebody had taken one of my kids and say, hey, we're going to turn him or her into the opposite, I'm like, that's it, dude. That's it. It's coming out, man. Ain't happening. Not on my watch. No, sir. So, I mean, you know. It's disgusting what they're teaching our kids these days. But anyway, at least parents are finally starting to step up, and they're stepping up enough that so basically the problem is more parents are stepping up and going to school board meetings. They're actually starting to take interest in their children's education. And the best part is to the point where they got the ire of the National School Board Association to basically try to get the Biden administration to list him as domestic terrorist. So you know you're over the target when he starts seeing the flak. So I've been totally against school unions, teachers unions, all that stuff. I don't think that stuff belongs, especially in a public setting. Now, if you want to unionize in a private school, that's your business, but people will pull out of that school. It's that simple. But that being said, there's so much corruption going on in the school system. There's even more corruption going on within the Republican Party. I told you the GOP is DOA. I guarantee you if they don't rig the midterm elections to make sure it's all Democrat, which could very well happen, once the GOP gets in there, they do what they do best, nothing. So that's why I say the GOP is DOA. And the very few handful of people in whichever GOP tries to do something, they get chastised, they get ostracized, they get labeled as something else, and they basically get frowned upon. I mean, many times in my own central committee, I was the sole nay vote, to the point where almost heads would turn every time it says those vote nay. Nine times out of ten, I always the nay vote because I'm not a rubber stamper, and a lot of the agendas they push, I did not approve, or I abstained. So very rarely did I ever abstain because I always tried to at least have a footprint. But I'm a sole warrior in there, but some people have told me privately that they respect the fact that I am the stick in the mud. And I'm like, well, why should I be the only one? You know, kind of like, when you look at the fascist symbol, which is the axe bound with sticks, okay, what it means is strength in numbers. So kind of like that idea. I feel like I'm the lone battle axe out there, and I have no sticks around me. So, you know, again, even in some of my positions, and many times I had to fight for podium time just to be able to go up there and say my piece on whatever, whether it was within the current agenda of that meeting or just trying to bring up a topic. So, you know, and they look – and when I'm up there, they really watch that three-minute mark. Knock me off in 3 minutes, they'd get me out of there because they're afraid of me. So they're probably afraid of another person I know who's coming on the show, Laura Rosenberger. I've known her for about 10 years. Met her at a Ron Paul Sine Wave down in Oakwood, I do believe. And it was during the 2012 primaries, I do believe. And we had been driving around doing Ron Paul Sine Waves. And I just happened to drive down that direction. I think I was dropping somebody off. That I had picked up that I met online or something like that, one of our Ron Paul groups. And I saw Laura and about four other individuals out there waving Ron Paul signs. And I was like, oh, cool. So as soon as I dropped old dude off, I came back and jumped out and participated. And we all went and had pizza afterwards there by the corner and chit-chat ever since. So Laura's also spoken at one of my Tea Party meetings back in 2013. And the reaffirmation of the Bill of Rights rally, which you can find on YouTube. And she was one of my favorite guest speakers. And Laura and I have talked shop on many things over the years. And I've always appreciated her input and her insight on things because she's like Kelly Coles. She's one of those ones, once she's like the hound, you know, like from Game of Thrones. Why do they call him the Hound? Because once he engages in combat, he doesn't let up. I mean, he keeps going after you until you're dead. I mean, so I'm not saying Laura is the Hound, but I mean, she's like a hound. She would just, she'd be like a pit bull in your ass until you actually, capitulate and, or at least admit you did wrong. So we need more people like that in the GOP. And she is in the state central committee. And because I had ran for it myself a few years back. And I lost to an establishment hack. He's basically just a bench warmer. I don't remember the guy's name, Bob Mitchell or something. But anyways, I actually was trying to challenge him to a debate because of the fact that he was a hack. I wanted to try to expose him for the wanker he was, but he wouldn't even respond to my my call. So obviously, you know, it just shows it's part of the problem. So we had a serious problem in the Ohio Republican Party. We've known about this for a while. And I've also seen how they deal with people that don't conform. So that's an issue itself. Okay, we're going to bring Laura Rosenberger on Ramsey's Brief Messages, and she's got some very interesting information about a lot of money has come up missing with the Ohio Republican Party. And it's not just the current leadership. I'm sure this has been going on for a while. We'll be back right after these brief messages.
Fully cooked, ready to eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready to eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and serve. Life-saving, ready to eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.
Attention patriots, tired of the tyranny and crime in the sanctuary cities? Flee the city and seek refuge in the American Redoubt. FleeTheCity.com. Move to the freedom of Idaho, Montana, or Wyoming. FleeTheCity.com. FleeTheCity.com.
Is there a count somewhere?
You're listening to Resolution Radio. ResolutionRDO.com.
You are listening to The Sonny Thomas Show with Sonny Thomas on ResolutionRDO.com. Call in now, 607-203-5423.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
Jimmy John's, America's number one sandwich delivery, fast head speaking. I'm on my way.
Backyard here, Ed.
Wow, you are fast.
Yes, sir, freaking fast and freaking good. But I gotta say, I've never delivered to a dude in a doghouse.
Well, I'm definitely in the doghouse.
I thought in the doghouse was just an expression, a figure of speech.
Well, the doghouse is a very real place.
How long are you condemned to your canine quarters?
Too soon to tell, but on the bright side.
The doghouse has a bright side.
Yeah, the wife can't throw a lap this far.
I guess she's been working out.
Order Jimmy John's sandwich delivery today. Jimmy John's, freaky fast, freaky fresh.
May the blessing of tear be upon you.
Hail tear. All right, welcome back to the Resolution Radio Network at ResolutionRDO.com. This is the Sonny Thomas Show, and I am your host, Sonny Thomas. So if you want to call in or listen now, it's area code 607-203-5423. That's area code 607-203-5423. And you can find us on various social media, as well as on Gab, Getter, Parler. Parler is turning more into Twitter, dude. I mean, you post certain things on there now, they flag you automatically. So, for example, I brought up an obvious point. You've got good old Lindsey Graham-esty up there advocating for the assassination of Putin from the inside. Where is Colonel Stauffenberg? Where is Brutus? And I'm like, oh, really? Wow, that's irresponsible, dude, as a senator. How about I say this? How about South Carolinians rise up and take your ass out? Put your head on a spike. How would you like that? And I got flagged. And I'm like, I'm being pretty freaking obvious here, man, because it's like, if he can go up and call for a head of state to be assassinated, then why can't we say the same for him, tit for tat, dude? I mean, he is no conservative. I mean, God, when Lindsey Graham starts looking like Barry Goldwater, you know we're screwed. We're completely screwed because of the fact that he is a definition of rhino. Him and his good old buddy John McCain were definitely part of the major problem. So I'm having some issues here with my other one. Okay, I think I got it. Sweet. Finally loaded. Okay, so I'm trying to get this clip to play. This my older phone here is just not playing well with others. Screw it. Maybe I could put it in during the editing process. Anyways, I was trying to play the Local 12 investigation piece on the missing money with the Ohio Republican Party. This is a very serious issue, and obviously this has been going on for a while. You know, one of the things I always hated in the Warren County Central Committee is when they would brag, and Kevin DeWine would come down and say, "Oh, Warren County is the flagship of the Ohio GOP." And I was used to sit there and bring that up to a couple of my chairmen that said, "You know, they claim we're the flagship of the Ohio GOP, but what does that say?" You know, and I was like, "Well, you seem to rubber stamp everything to do. Why can't we?" I said, "I've asked the previous chairman, what is our position? Are we a rubber stamp committee or a political body?" He says, "We're a political body." He says, "Then why aren't we leading the way? Why aren't we bringing up serious issues and throwing debates on them? Not just, you know, possibly endorsing candidates." See what I'm saying? That's kind of asinine to me, and not be worthwhile for anything else. So that's a serious problem. And so I find it actually a little bit of an insult that they would speak of us so highly, but then we do nothing to try to supposedly live up to that designation. So that's a serious problem. When Laura Roseberg told me she was going to run for state central committee, I was like, "Oh, yes, please do." And I encouraged my folks to vote for them as well, because of the fact that she was in their district. And I was just like, "Yeah," I said, "trust me." Well, who's this person that said, "Trust me"? I've known her for a while. She's one of the real deals. She's another Kelly Coles. She could be a St. Thomas, but she's not as extreme as I am. But I like that because of the fact that she takes things from a different angle. So that's one of the things that makes it really good. And I always appreciate her experience. I think I finally got this thing to freaking play. God, this thing's loading slower than molasses. All right, let's see if I can get this thing to work. We got to load an ad first. Are you freaking kidding me? Well, shit. Give it another 5 seconds. If it don't load, dude, I'm just going to go straight to Laura. It was actually a really good report. I was very impressed. Didn't really seem biased at all. Yeah. 3, 2, 1. Screw you. All right, so much for that. Okay, so I'll bring Laura on and let her tell you herself. Again, I thought the report on Channel 12 was actually very good. I thought the guy covered a lot of bases, and apparently one of the members on the Central Committee is a CPA. And he started looking into things and started realizing, hey, man, things just don't add up. And, you know, some other stuff. Oh, man, my board's starting to give me hell again. Okay. I got it. It's swirling, but I don't know if it's connected. Laura, are you with us? Okay, my connection's crap. I really hate this thing. Sometimes it's when, oh, hell no. Peace. God, this thing drives me nuts. Disconnected on me again. Oh, blast. Okay, well, give it a chance here to try to. I've hit the button, Laura, so if it does click, just say something. Come on. Hang on a second, folks.
Okay.
All right, I'm going to try to click this. Yes. All right.
Hey, Laura,
okay,
Laura,
just
Laura,
what the hell's going on here? Laura, I'm going to disconnect you. I want you to call back. Damn, this whole thing is really screwing up. Okay. Okay, go ahead and call back in, Laura. I'm reloading my board and see if I can get it to refresh here. It's a real pain in my ass. Okay. One of the disadvantages of technologies, folks. Come on. I swear to God, I'm going to chuck this thing out the window. Okay, well, shoot. I just have to keep going until the thing reloads. All right. This thing's such a pain in the ass. I apologize. Laura, this thing's real. Some days the computer just really has a mind of its own and just absolutely freezes up on me. So I need to actually have this whole thing reformatted. Anyway, so with that being said, again, what I was mentioning earlier is that even though our digital payment processors have been taken from us, traditional snail mail has worked out very well. So I encourage you to do what others have had. Send cash, well-concealed cash, check on money order mailed to St. Thomas at P.O. Box 27, Springboro, Ohio, 45066. That's P.O. Box 27, Springboro, Ohio, 4506. Oh, finally, it's starting to connect. Okay. There we go. I think I got it to work. Are you there, Laura?
Hello?
Yes. All right, the board finally unfroze. Great. Okay. All right, first and foremost, I want to brag because she's always so busy, but this is actually the first time I've actually had Laura Rosenberger on the program. And
can you hear me? Am I actually
yes.
on? Oh,
yes,
good.
I can hear you.
How are you?
Yes.
Great. Great.
I was you know, when it says hit any key to continue and it's got a duck with a hammer, that's what I was about ready to do. So this is actually the first time Laura Rosenberger, I think, has actually been on my program. Many times I've invited her. She's always in the middle of doing something or having dinner with her family, whatever the case may be. And, of course, she's a very busy lady. But I've known Laura for about 10 years now, and I've got her to mingle with some of my other activists like Kelly Coles. And so we've actually built up some pretty good relationships, everybody, of like-minded individuals. So it's actually always pretty good stuff. But finally get to Laura to have spread her wisdom and her experience here on the STS. Laura, welcome to the Sonny Thomas Show.
Thank you. Thank you, Sonny. And I'm very happy to be here. Kelly Coles is one of my heroes. Unfortunately, she only lasted on State Central Committee, I think, for one term before she gave up in frustration. And I don't blame her. And she has her own PAC right now, which is called the Ohio Republican PAC, which is great, and she's doing great work across the state for constitutional conservative candidates who need support and need to get out there.
Hang on,
hang on,
hang on
a second. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, so because they certainly don't get support from the Ohio Republican Party, and whoever gets endorsed by the Ohio Republican Party for that primary, you know, pretty much has 100% chance of winning the primary. So it's gotten really bad because, you know, there are 66 members on the Ohio Republican Party, and it used to be just half of them deciding who would get the endorsement and who would win the primary. And now it's come down to 11 people who decide who gets that endorsement and who wins the primary. So that was quite a change this year with the Ohio Republican Party, and it was quite an eye-opener for me. I really saw them stoop to new lows with that endorsement that we made of the five statewide incumbents this February. Did you pay attention to that?
Well, didn't it kind of – isn't it generally unethical to support any candidate for a primary because of the fact that it obviously clearly shows you could be biased or picking sides? Now, that was one of the advantages of the the county central committee is we would have candidates come and speak to us, and then we would vote on whether to endorse them or not. And many times we didn't always endorse them. So it was never a rubber stamp with the Warren County Central Committee. When we did have candidates, and it wasn't all the time. And not only that, but we've also had independent candidates, like that one gentleman that was running for Senate, Scott something. I forgot the guy's name off the bat. But anyway, he almost got an endorsement, and he was an independent. So he made enough of an intention to get people to really listen to him, and I thought that was pretty good.
But what I think overall is at the county level, endorsements can be very overrated.
Scott Rupert.
I remember him. He was a candidate for Senate and running as independent. I remember him. Mm-hmm.
Yes, he's very impressive. I was hoping he would keep going into it. But, Scott Rupert, I had him on the show 2 or 3 times and had played his ad. As a matter of fact, one of the ads is called An Argument for Independence, and that was actually pretty good. And so I really appreciated that we get some fresh blood in there, because I know, for example, I've had a conversation with you in the past where you were really hesitant to even think about joining the Republican Party because you had actually done some research on the history of the Republican Party going back to when they first were founded in the 1850s, and you definitely didn't like how it started off. So it's obviously morphed a lot over the decades and the century and a half. But also, you have to ask yourself, too, if you're a Civil War aficionado at all, how in the hell did they pick Abraham Lincoln, and how in the hell did he get elected when almost all the southern states didn't even have a guy on the ballot? So it makes you wonder what type of shenanigans maybe the Republican Party had at the time to even get Lincoln into the White House, you know what I'm saying?
Well, and then the fact that his vice president was Johnson, who was a Democrat, a Southern Democrat. And, I think it really had more to do with the death of the Whig Party that opened up a vacuum of power that these radical Republicans stepped in. And the radical Republicans, you know, would sacrifice the Constitution to pass the, 13th and 14th Amendments, which were so important to get passed. But how far do you want to go in sacrificing the Constitution to get your agenda passed is a question that I'm sure was on everybody's minds back then. But I'm very today I don't have a problem calling myself a Republican, and I'm very proud to be a Republican because of the pro-life issue. Because there is such distinct, and that really is the biggest difference between the two parties today. It's in the platform, and we are all supposed to be pro-life 100%. And the fact that Ohio is not a 100% pro-life state, when we have the supermajorities in, you know, the legislative, the executive, and the judicial, which is not really helping us too much with redistricting. Ohio should be a 100% abortion-free state, and it's not. And so that is one thing that really differentiates the two parties. The Democrat Party is so far gone, and it's so pro-death on so many issues, not just the abortion issue, but the transgender, in the schools, and you talked a little bit about this earlier, you know, and we've got some real problems locally. Bethel Township up in, almost the Tip City area there in Miami County, those parents are fighting hard to keep their bathrooms segregated. You know, the school board is under tremendous pressure from one teacher. I believe she's a high school chemistry teacher who's pro-transgender, and she has put up such a stink, and she brings in her little posse of, activists, who aren't even from the school district. They're from Cincinnati, and there are about 20 of them, you know, at the school board meetings there, lobbying to have the bathrooms open to anybody, which means you could have, like, a 17- or 18-year-old male in using the same bathroom with a little 5- or 6-year-old girl. Sorry, how does that work, you know? And
right,
so
this isn't Rome.
A,
and, you know, Rome actually had public loos that they would, you know, they'd have like a room, you walk in there and it has, you know, each wall probably has maybe a dozen, you know, pots for you to sit on. And it's a little more acceptable back then. That's because everybody wore the same type of clothing, too. I mean, you just basically pulled up
they
and
also
go.
Pedophilia was also very acceptable to them as well. And they,
right,
there were no laws.
Until Augustus came along, yeah.
Yeah, so they're fighting hard in Bethel Township. I've been to some of those school board meetings where, you know, you've got 300 or 400 angry parents and about 20 transgender activists trying to get their way. And that issue still has not been resolved. In your neck of the woods, they're fighting a after-school Satan club in Lebanon. I mean, you know, what's going on down there? They're allowing for that down there. And these are all, you know, in line with the Democrat agenda. So it's not just abortion, but, you know, these things are also against.
You know, my personal issue with what that is it's not necessarily the content. It's the fact that they have any type of religious program in a public school setting. That I found out to be egregious because the fact that it shows preference for one group but not another. What's next? You're going to have a Durka class. I mean, you're going to have, you know, not, if you're going to do something like that, then they need to set up their own school. I mean, because of the fact that, and good luck trying to get enrollment in a satanic school. But that being said, I don't want to see any religious after-school program in public schools because I don't think that's appropriate with public money. You know, so that's just my view on it. Because once you allow one group in, you got to let them all in. And then there's just some groups that just believe that they have some sort of superiority or supremacy over another group, and then they just cause problems. I mean, it's best just to keep that entire religious element out of the public schools arena and do your own special parochial schools. That's why people pay the pretty good tuitions to send their kid to one kind of parochial school or another because maybe it's got a religious bent. And whether it's Catholic school or whatever,
even,
you know, that's fine.
Even if you go with the private schools, the teachers there have been trained in the same schools that the public school teachers have been trained.
Oh, I know.
And
I've heard a lot of stuff in there, too, with the gender bathrooms,
right.
Too.
So it's not much better, and it's not going to change until we change the teacher education at the university level. You know, we think,
yes.
Oh, we can fight the CRT. You know, as long as we get rid of all of the curriculum and the projects and stuff. Hey,
here's
and
another issue I've been seeing a lot over the last several years, too, Laura, is the amount of criminal activity with female teachers having sexual relations with their male students, in some cases female, but mostly males. And I've been seeing a lot more of an uptick ever since that one gal got busted messing with that kid, and she ended up marrying him after she got out of prison. I forgot what her name was. But anyways, that was an extreme situation there. Even when she was on probation, she went out and got with the kid again and got caught in the backseat of a car with him. So, I mean, it's amazing. But I see a lot more arrest cases of female teachers having inappropriate relations with male students.
Mm-hmm. There are... The worst of the worst are slipping through the system at the university level. If we don't get control of the universities and the colleges in this country that have been taken over by, you know, back in the mid-1800s, post-Civil War, when the big foundations, the Carnegies and the Fords, well, later on the Fords, but they started taking over. They took over two things. They took over education. And they took over medicine. And that's when communism crept in to everything, and they knew they had to. And then later on, they took over the media. And so that's why everything's a mess today. because now we've been through how many generations of kids who have been indoctrinated in these schools, and if we don't get a hold of the college and university level, it's not going to change. You cannot change K through 12 until you change the colleges and the universities first. And I know because I went through teacher training in the 1980s, and it wasn't called CRT back then, but it was CRT. You know, it was not good how I was taught how to be a teacher. And I never would have known.
That, but look what Charlotte Nisseby had exposed within the last 10 years. She's really exposed a lot of the stuff that was going on with the schools and stuff are all based on the communist model. And that was one of the things why we need to get rid of the Department of Education. And, you know, that was one of the things Reagan was going to do as soon as he got in office, but he was shot and then reversed his trajectory on many of the policies he was going to do. And so we never had a chance to get rid of that. And obviously this is the result of allowing it to fester and turning into a monster.
Yeah, education is not in Article 1, Section 8 of the enumerated powers. Education is not in there, and healthcare is not in there. The federal government shouldn't be involved in either of those two. It's just social engineering that they're doing. Now, you know, the states, of course, can make decisions on education and healthcare because of, you know, the 10th Amendment. They have the right to do that, but not the federal government. So, you know, until
we get... Right, and I've really been advocating for states to step up more and get and take their sovereignty back. And I have been seeing some other programs recently where they're really pushing for that. To really start asserting more state sovereignty, which, you know, a lot of people talk about, well, why did we lose some of it? Well, Civil War was actually destructive to the North as well as to the South, and one of it was a lot of states losing their sovereignty. That's why they end up having a central currency, which took away all state currencies. So that was the first step, which eventually led to the Federal Reserve, and then we go up from there. So, I mean, it's a serious issue. But you know, last true fight we had of the Civil War on state sovereignty was George Wallace going against Brown versus Board of Education, not letting that girl go into that school. When he blinked and let her go in, that was the last true battle of the Civil War, which was not about slavery. It was about state sovereignty and being able to decide their own fates. And, I think more people dig into the issue of the Civil War, they start to discover slavery was just an issue. It wasn't the issue like they're trying to perpetuate to be. But when you understand the history of the colonies and the beginning of this country and how much the North was already chipping at the South with forced taxation and all sorts of other crap, that's why we had the Missouri Compromise. That's why we had Kansas fighting out which way they wanted to go, things like that. And then you got candidate Lincoln stating that, oh, I'm not going to stop slavery that currently exists, but I'm not going to allow it to expand. So you're basically saying you're going to dictate terms in new states? That's BS. You know, one of the South seceded.
And, you know, I think as a result, we ended up, yes, getting rid of racial-based slavery, but we exchanged it for economic slavery for everybody.
Yes. Especially with the progressive tax and everything else, yes.
Mm-hmm. And then with the Federal Reserve System. And like you said, now that's just grown into things like the IMF and all of these wars that we're witnessing are just, you know, a lot of it has to do, most of it has to do with banking. Whoever wins a war, the bankers win the war. That's
the bankers
who wins
win.
The war.
Look what they're doing with the bureaucracy they created. You know, you've got, you know, at one time we needed the unions because there was poor working conditions and they were making kids do stuff, et cetera, et cetera. And then we eventually got OSHA. You know, OSHA was a good point to that. But I've seen cases, and there's a congressman in from Arizona that is asking for the abolition of OSHA because of the fact that, one, it's kind of rendered moot anymore. And secondly, he said a lot of state OSHAs actually have more stringent restrictions than the federal one does. But the federal one says, no, it doesn't matter. You got to do it our way, even though ours is less. That's the way they want it. And we've seen how useless they are because of the fact that Biden has tried to turn them into an enforcement arm for his COVID mandates. So that shows that that whole agency needs to be gotten rid of. Not only that, but I can tell you from firsthand experience, too many times I've seen an incident happen and OSHA gets called. Either they're kept off the premises or they take the agent out for a three-drink lunch. And next thing you know, a $7,000 fine gets knocked down to about $2,000 or $3,000. And basically they get rid of a warning instead of a major citation. So they're corrupt. So but I don't use for it.
Funny that OSHA, I mean, I saw a program once that went back in history with OSHA and showed how one of the biggest things that it did, one of the biggest issues that it tackled was developing the science behind masking. And I'm talking about like back in, what, the 1980s when people who worked in the construction and industry would just wear their own homemade masks, you know, bandanas or whatever, or cloth made up, whatever they could make up to keep all of the large particles from them, you know. And they would just do this and go to work. And so it became such a problem because you did have a lot of things like mesothelioma and things like that. And I'm very sensitive to this because that's how my father died, because his family owned a construction business. And both he and his brother got that mesothelioma and died of lung cancer eventually. Took a long time, but it was because they were constantly breathing in the asbestos and on the jobs and the dust and the dirt and everything. And so back then they did not have any mask requirements, you know. And it's not really a mask, but it's a respirator, a professionally fit respirator that is regulated, that should be worn under specific construction and building circumstances.
Absolutely.
But that's how one, like, the biggest thing that put OSHA on the map was that it was trying to figure out, you know, well, how can we protect the workers from getting these things into their lungs? And they shouldn't just be wearing these bandanas over their faces, because, you know, putting a cloth diaper over your face is not going to do anything.
Right.
You know, it's not going to keep anything out, as we know. It's so ridiculous. And so
the fresh oxygen.
you know, yeah, to be thinking that anybody putting a bandana or a cloth mask over their face to keep out, you know, to keep out a COVID particle is just insane. And so we could talk about that for hours.
Let's focus on yours a little bit real quick. In 5 minutes, tell me why you decided to run for State Central Committee and what were you hoping to do if and when you got elected?
Well, I was very disappointed in the woman who I replaced, because she didn't put a lot of effort into it. She would always rubber stamp the endorsements. She would always vote with the establishment. And that's mostly the way it is at State Central Committee.
Was that under Kasich?
Yeah, and then a little bit. I got elected in 2020, so yeah. So and then I challenged her when DeWine 2018 and 2019, and then I finally went for the election and beat her in 2020. So the people here in the political community in Clark and Greene counties were disappointed in her as well, in her performance and her support of primary endorsements, because both those counties are very much against primary endorsements. In fact, both those committees, Clark County Central Committee and Greene County Central Committee, who actually passed a resolution against it, will not vote in primary endorsements. Sometimes Green does. They have the option to do so. But this year, 22, they both voted. They said, no, we're not going there. Not. So that was one of the big things, because they knew that if I were to be elected to state, that I would vote against primary endorsements. And I would support my district in being against primary endorsements, because primary endorsements are wrong. The only time they really could possibly benefit is at the county level. I think at the county level, you should have the opportunity to at least vote on whether or not we will proceed with endorsement. Because at the county level is where you have the most control over candidates. And you can see at that level, we have a bad candidate here. You cannot tell somebody that they can't put their name on the ballot. But you can tell them, well, if you put your name on the ballot, we're not going to support you as a party. You're on your own, because we don't think you're a good candidate. And that might hinder them or prevent them from getting elected. So if you really know that you've got some bad candidates out there and you need to do endorsements of good candidates to to stop a bad candidate, it can be a very helpful defensive measure. But it should not be used on a regular basis, and it should be used on special, and it should be used by people who are really taking a good hard look at those local primary candidates who are coming up the pike. Because that's how you end up with a Joe Biden or a Barack Obama or Nancy Pelosi. They all started somewhere. They all started at that local level, and they got through, and they should not have gotten through. But they got through somehow. So we're not doing a good job vetting our candidates, because once they become a candidate, it's almost impossible to get rid of them. Once they win an election, it's impossible to get rid of them. And then when they figure out, oh, I'm doing a bad job here, they're catching on, they run for something else.
Right.
Get elected. So
well, let me ask you this. With the county central committee, for example, like let's say you have to fill a vacancy. We had the county prosecutor need to be replaced because I think the lady ran for a higher office or something. Maybe she ran for a judgeship. And then actually, if I remember correctly, she ended up getting cancer and dying a couple years later. But that being said, we had to the assistant district. The assistant prosecutor was filling the place temporarily, but we need to fill a spot. So it was the county central committee who voted for the incumbent fill-in as well as the challenger, and we ended up voting in David Formshell as the county prosecutor. So that's a situation where the central committee actually did that. Now, after once he was in, then he'd run for office on a ballot normally. But what positions does the state central committee vote on in a situation similar to that, or do they do that at all?
No, we only do the statewide officials, governor, secretary of state, auditor, and so forth, those five, right? And then we're supposed to go down the line and do Senate, and then Ohio House and Senate. And then we endorse ourselves. But it rarely goes to the lower level. The county levels are decided between the county and the chairman. So if you have a slate card, then the county will work with the chairman to get certain county level people on that slate card, or give them access to using the mailing indicia, which would be very helpful in cutting your mailing costs. So, but again, it has to be done right, and it has to be done sparingly at the local level by the county to endorse somebody in the primary, if at all. And it should be solely a defensive measure when you know you have somebody who's bad running against somebody who's good you want to support that good person and discourage that bad person. We're too afraid to say no. As Republicans, you know, everybody thinks, oh, he's a Republican, so he's got to be good, you know.
Right.
We're too afraid to say no. I don't care if they're a Republican. They're corrupt, and we shouldn't be supporting him or her as a candidate. You know, we should not be given a pass to every Tom, Dick, and Harry that goes past us. And too often we do. And that's why we end up with, on the Republican side, with Democrats pretending to be Republicans, like Maureen O'Connor, who obviously is not. Where'd she come from? She's a Republican, and she's doing what with this redistricting now, throwing the whole state into chaos, you know, because of this redistricting? I don't consider her a Republican. How did she make it up through the pike? You know, where'd she come from? So we end up with these people in very high positions, and they're not true conservatives. They're not constitutionalists. They're not even Republicans. A bunch of them are Democrats just pretending to be Republicans. And we as Republicans at the county level do not do a good job at preventing that. And that's how we end up with COVID lockdowns and tyrannical governors and masks and vaccines and things that are totally unacceptable, totally unacceptable. You think we were living in communist China, for heaven's sake. And this is a Republican.
So that being said, I'm assuming obviously you're not a fan of good esteemed Mike No Spine DeWine. What are your thoughts on Joe Blystone?
At this point, I am a real Renacci fan, and I really hope he wins the primary. But I don't think that either he nor Blystone have a chance since the ORP. You know, endorsed, and especially if we have a May 3rd primary. Now, if that primary is moved out to August, then I think either one of them would have a better chance of winning. But when I see things like Joe Blystone taking in money from donors who are the same people as the donors of Mike DeWine, then that doesn't sit well with me, because that's saying that he's being paid off just to stay in the race to give Renacci, to take votes away from Renacci, because I think Renacci is the stronger horse in this race. I think he would.
Yeah, I think Kelly would agree with you on that too.
And we have to get everybody behind Renacci. Whether you like him or not, whether you think he's a swamp creature or not, I don't care. He's the only one.
It's not
one.
DeWine.
No, I know.
Now, here's the thing
really
here.
You're really serious about replacing DeWine, then you have to get behind Renacci. Now I know I didn't answer your question about Joe Blystone, and you know I answered it kind of in a different way, but I'm a Renacci fan. I'm not a Blystone fan, because I saw the big difference between how the two of them run their campaigns. You know, I did a little bit here just to see what the Blystone campaign was like, and I see people dropping like flies from his campaign. Okay, and I see
that's
a lot.
That's always a big red flag.
Right. People did not last long on his campaign, and there's a lawsuit against him because of him not handling his campaign contributions properly. And then so then I started working for the Renacci, not working, but volunteering for the Renacci campaign, you know, to see really what that's all about and how is that going. And he dots every I and crosses every T. You can't even show up to do like a gun show booth for him. Without filling out paperwork of who you are, where you live, who's your employer, and how many hours did you spend at that booth. It's that professional. And to me...
Yeah, he's a business owner, isn't he?
Oh, yeah. And if you can
run... Oh, he runs it like a business.
Yeah, if you can run a statewide campaign like that, then that tells me you have a better chance of running the state of Ohio in a professional way than somebody who can't manage a $100 donation the proper way. You know?
Now, that being said, let's just say this, being devil's advocate, you know, this is obviously probably Blystone's first campaign. And you know, when you're first getting into politics, it's a process. You don't know exactly what you're supposed to do, what you're not supposed to do. You may not have full access to the bylaws. I mean, a lot of people are very green when they go into this, and then you find out all sorts of stuff coming in there. And some people don't know what is considered appropriate and what isn't. What is considered a business expense, what isn't.
I'm going to interrupt you. That's why you run for dog catcher first and not governor.
Yes, I agree. Totally agree.
Yeah.
We need dog catchers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we need good dog catchers. So that's what's going on there. And I do think that they want Blystone to stay in the race because he's taken the votes away from Renacci. And the whole state needs to unify behind Renacci. Everybody does. If you want to get rid of DeWine, that's the only way.